Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. On this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss some of the ways you can fulfill your orders without going through Amazon. When you start an e-commerce business from scratch, you tend to handle all order fulfillment in-house. Your product is often stored in your own office or garage and processed by hand. However, as your business begins to grow, fulfillment will impose an ever-increasing demand on your time and money, and you'll begin to look for ways to outsource this need to someone else. At this point, you'll hit a fork in the road. You may be tempted by the convenience of the fulfillment by Amazon model, but there are other options you should consider. On today's episode, you'll hear an explanation of order fulfillment. Normal shipping begins with businesses taking care of small amounts of orders on their own. As shipping becomes a larger focus of the business, it may be more convenient to outsource this activity to a third party. Next, we'll discuss who uses this and why. Normally, businesses who ship over 100 orders per day or spend over $500 a month on shipping are prime candidates to consider a third-party fulfillment service. Then, we'll share some reasons why you may not want to go through Amazon. These include the unpredictability of Amazon's fees, as well as the fact that they have been known to delay some goods and prioritize others. After that, we'll offer up some other fulfillment services to look into. Whether you ship large or small items, we have some great options that you should consider. And finally, we'll share some important questions to ask when researching fulfillment providers. If you're in a position to re-examine how your business handles fulfillment, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. Chris, welcome back to the show. Great to see you again, man.
It's good to see you too.
Today we're talking about order fulfillment and ways to do that outside of Amazon. So first thing we'll start with is just basically, what is order fulfillment?
So if you're a merchant and you're producing stuff, right? So whether you're creating wallets or you're, you know, putting ink on t-shirts or whatever, you normally ship that stuff out of your own house, right? You just like, you're like, oh, I made this little thing, and then you start selling it. You do a one-off. And when you're tiny, you're doing order fulfillment on your own. It's you getting an order and you know, putting it in an envelope or putting it in a box and shipping it. So if you're a store builder, right, one of the questions that you ask people is, you know, where are you at in the life cycle of your business, or how are things going? Like, lots of different ways to understand. Because if someone is shipping two or three items a week as a store builder, I don't have to do anything with order fulfillment. It's like, just, you're going to take care of it yourself. But if someone's doing hundreds of orders a day, then my next logical question as a store builder is, what are you doing for order fulfillment? Are you literally taking all this, like, do you have your own inventory in your house? And then are you taking it, putting it in boxes, and you're taking it to the, you know, post service, and you're dropping it off? Like, is that how you're doing order fulfillment? Or are you using a third party system? So when we talk about on, you know, on this podcast, when we talk about order fulfillment, what we're talking about is the latter, is when you stop doing it yourself and you want to use someone else. And Amazon has a famous fulfillment service where you can ship all your products to Amazon, and they can, the orders will get routed to them, and then they will deliver, you know, they'll ship out your orders. They'll put it in package and they'll ship it. Today, we're talking about alternatives to fulfillment by Amazon, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And that's at the core of it, right? When you're doing enough business, you stop putting products in packaging and shipping it, then you're talking about order fulfillment services.
Okay. So you had mentioned that these are normally for people who are doing hundreds of orders or more per day.
It's a question that the easy way to think about it is, how much are you spending on shipping, right?
Okay.
So if you were to calculate between your shipping supplies and your postal costs, if you're spending $500 or more, then you know, you might start thinking about, hey, maybe I need to think about order fulfillment services. If you're spending less, so again, you might be selling something really small. The envelope may not even be an envelope. The postage may be the cheapest postage ever, and you ship, you know, 5 a day. You just go to your mailbox and drop it in. But that's not the same if you're putting stuff in boxes, printing labels, taking it to the post office, and you're taking packages and piles of packages every day, right? So as a store builder, me trying to understand where you're at, one of the questions I ask is just, how much are you spending in shipping a month, right? And right, if right. someone is spending, normally the lines run around $500. If you're spending that, then I start thinking, okay, have you looked at fulfillment services?
Okay. At a certain point, it's not just about the time cost or money cost. It's also about the time cost, right? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Like we did when we were selling, this is a long time ago, but we were selling physical phones back in the world where it shifted from analog cell phones to digital cell phones. Mm-hmm. And we were doing it manually, right? So we had a guy named Scott. It was a couple guys, but I remember Scott sitting at one point. The guy who used to start it, right, who used to ship, he was tired of it. So he moved on to something else. So we brought in the young guy, right, the young intern. And we're like, yeah, Scott, yeah, that's your job. Just, you see an order, grab the phone, grab the box, stick it in another box, put the, you know, in, you know, the stuff inside to protect it, the little bubble wrap, close it up, print the label, put the label on top, and then get a whole bunch of them and then call UPS and they'll come pick it up and you give it to them. And it was his full-time job. So we weren't just paying for, you know, stamps and labels and boxes. We're paying Scott, right? And Scott's full-time job is, I'm shipping stuff. And at some point you go, we got to get out of this. This is crazy, right? Scott can do other things and we don't need to be doing this. But of course, that's when store builders get involved, right? That's when developers get involved, because we went and did a partnership with we were in Northern California. The fulfillment folks were down in Southern California. And we had to build conduit. We had to build code that would connect the dots. Again, it was a long time ago, to make sure that every order would get sent over to them, that they could process it, that they would push the tracking number back into the system so that customers could get an update. All of that is part of how you do fulfillment, right? And mm-hmm. we were using a third party because we didn't want to do it ourselves.
Okay. So today we're talking about the alternatives to Amazon. Is it worth diving in real quick and just saying, you know, Why are we looking outside of Amazon for fulfillment?
So anyone who's ever thought about doing fulfillment has likely heard about Fulfillment by Amazon. It's the, you know, 100-pound gorilla in the room. And you kind of go, yeah, these are the guys that do it. What is harder each year is that their fees all change. So when you read a blog post from 4 years ago where someone's talking about this is the best and the cheapest and whatever, and then you go sign up and you're like, wait a minute, I'm charged based on which category my products are in. And I'm charged if I need them to do this other little bit of service. And I'm charged. And all of a sudden, the charges start racking up and you realize this is a little expensive. This could get a little bit crazy. And it's hard to know. Like, it's hard to know when you're saying, I'm going to use an external service. One of the things they're going to ask is, well, how many orders are you processing through? And you start making estimates. But what happens if you have a bigger month or a slower month? And then the math of how much you're spending per item starts changing. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that happened, right, is that we saw in very real life circumstances, when COVID hit and there was a, you know, people were going to Amazon to buy everything, and Amazon decided out of its own policy to shift what it was going to prioritize in terms of shipping out and what it was going to delay. So they started adding delay times to products that Amazon as a company decided were non-essential. And they told their own, the vendors that were sending stuff to Fulfillment by Amazon, on this day, we're going to stop taking in your inventory. Meaning, we don't want your blue dresses because we're selling toilet paper. Now, until that happened, everybody had said, oh, you know, just use Fulfillment by Amazon. It's just easier. They're the big guys. They do it all, whatever. Nobody said, but by the way, there's a chance that this other company that isn't your company could completely stop your fulfillment, right? They could stop warehousing your stuff and they could delay sending your stuff. And if you're a store builder running around telling people, use Fulfillment by Amazon, then your customer, your merchant comes back and says, hey, you're the one that told me to use these guys. and they have stopped my inventory and they have stopped my shipping. Now, as a store builder, you look dumb, right? And you go, oh, okay, this isn't good, right? So that's why you start looking at alternatives, because you go, I don't want another company to be in control of my own business, in control of my ability to succeed.
Yeah.
And Amazon has demonstrated they can and will do that.
Okay. So what are the, what are kind of the main alternatives to using Amazon then?
So one of my favorites is a company called ShipBob. I've sent so many people to ShipBob, it's crazy. They have a very similar fulfillment solution, right? And they have multiple warehouses. You can send all your stuff in. They will, they'll store it for you. They will then process orders. They have integrations into a bunch of the e-commerce players. So whatever platform you're using, you know, you can route the orders to them. They will package it and they will ship it. They'll print out the label. They don't do the really big stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure ShipBob doesn't do patio furniture, because you know how big those packages are, and you start off, you want to send that via freight, and I don't think they do that. So ShipBob is for your everyday dynamic. And again, it's a fantastic alternative. And when we saw Fulfillment by Amazon start to compress and tighten up and change rules, at that point is when I started telling every store builder and every merchant, every store owner I knew, go check out ShipBob, because they've been doing it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they have the staff, they have the warehousing, they have the processes, and their pricing is just really, I mean, it's custom. So they'll work with you to figure out what you're going to ship, but their pricing is solid. So ShipBob is one of those alternatives that I would tell you to look at. They don't do really big stuff. They also don't do any kind of assembly, which again is logical. Like, if I'm selling t-shirts or I'm selling, you know, boxes that have an iPhone case in it or whatever, ShipBob is great. But if I was selling something slightly bigger, or if I was selling something that needed a little bit of assembly before shipping it out, that may not be where ShipBob sits. But that's why there's another company called RedStag, right? And RedStag is another fulfillment service that does do a little bit. And I mean, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to build an entire bicycle from parts, but they will do a little bit of assembly. They will do some of the heavy and oversized stuff. So if you think about ShipBob as 80% of the things, if I'm a store builder and I'm talking to customers, 80% of the customers I talk to are going to need, or maybe 85%. Are going to need ShipBob. And that's just look at that, right? If you're using an alternative to Fulfillment by Amazon, check out ShipBob. But there's about 10 to 15% of merchants who may say, I have high value items. I don't sell a lot of them, but when I sell them, they're expensive. They're bigger. I want a little bit of light assembly, or I want to change how I do the delivery, that, you know, in terms of these pallets that need to get delivered. Mm-hmm. Then you might look at RedStag and say, okay, these guys are playing in this other realm, and it's worth looking at, right?
Yeah. Now, when you're kind of recommending this to your store owner, is this something that you will be interacting with directly as a store builder, or will they have to learn how to use these apps?
It's kind of a combination, right? Okay. So when you go to integrate ShipBob, you just give it the URL of your site. They'll do a connection. They'll make it work, whatever. RedStag, you got to do a little bit more work. RedStag has a requirement of like 200 orders per month, whereas ShipBob just looks at your overall revenue. And so first you have to first talk to them to qualify. So that's where the store builder often gets in, say, hey, okay, let me pull some data for the merchant, and let me talk to the vendor, and let me do the integration work. Once the integration's in place, there's not a ton that the merchant has to do other than looking in the back end of whatever e-commerce platform they're using to see, oh, this is the status of shipment, and oh, here's the tracking number, right? So it's not a ton of work, but the store builder does get involved initially to make sure that integration is in place and it's working and tested out. And then once it's running, the hope, right, is that you don't ever have to get back in there.
Okay. Because I guess you'd want the user experience to be at least accessible, right? Does either one have a more accessible or easy to understand user interface?
Yeah, but again, for the most part, it's not a lot that you're doing in terms of interface. I mean, like, think about it this way. Let's say the merchant has 20,000 iPhone cases, right? Among two or three different sizes of cases. So if I'm the merchant who designed those and built those, I'm working with another factory that's building them. And instead of them shipping it to me, I give that provider who's making them for me, I give them my new ShipBob warehouse address. And they ship it right over there. And ShipBob reaches out to me. I don't need a lot of UI for ShipBob to reach out and say, hey, we got it. We're putting it in your section. We'll deliver off that, right? And you go, yeah. And you go, okay, listen, on my site, I'm selling these three SKUs. You got these three. And they go, yep, we're good. So as a store builder, I got to make sure that I'm passing the right dynamics, the iPhone size. I got to make sure I'm passing that in the integration. But once that's in play, right, not a lot. Now, yes, a merchant can go and look in the back end of the e-commerce system, or they can log into, say, ShipBob or RedStag and look at their, here's what's going on and here's what's getting fulfilled. But there's not a lot to do because, again, the whole point of this is that you're outsourcing, right? The merchant is saying, I don't really want to be involved in this. If, as long as the payment's right, as long as the fulfillment's right, yeah, I should only get escalated to the really strange things, right?
Mm-hmm. Are there any major, we've kind of mentioned pricing a little bit, but are there any major differences between the two and how they price it out? Or
pricing is a funky thing, right? When you time out fulfillment, because pricing is based on your volume. It's based on the size and weight of the items, the shipping method that you're picking, also your own return policy, right? Also whether or not someone has to put custom labels and custom, you know, logo stickers and other stuff on the box or in the box if you're adding additional paraphernalia. So there's also a receiving fee, right? So again, if you're delivering a whole bunch of your stuff and you know, you got a pallet coming in, someone's got to process that. So the best way, right? The best advice I give to a store builder is to say, hey, listen, you want to pick a partner and then you want to start having those conversations, right? Have the conversations so that you can tease out all of the costs. So you can ask, hey, when I deliver stuff to you, what's the fee? When I store it with you, what's the fee? Am I storing just a little bin? Am I storing a pallet, right? If I need you to do anything custom in the process, put stickers on it, put stickers in it, what's the fee? If I then package it up and ship it using one of my, or do you have discounted fees for shipping so that it's cheaper even for me? And you go, yeah, okay. If you have multiple warehouses and I want my inventory stored in multiple places and I want it sent from the closest one to wherever the customer is, right? Is there a fee? You, as a store builder, you want to be asking the questions so that you can bring the right partner to your customer, right? To the merchant and connect the dots, right? And then the customer knows, okay, this is what's going to cost for me. Every time we do this, you discover new nuances because what the customer is selling, right? And so when the customer's like, oh yeah, like if you're selling t-shirts or you're selling iPhone case, whatever, they're all light. What happens when they get heavy? Right. And then all of a sudden, you know, the fulfillment player is saying, well, okay, to store that though, you're going to need us to do this or that. You go, okay, that's fair. So it's worth having a call with those guys.
Okay. Just kind of hearing you talk about it, it sounds like the main difference, if I had an e-commerce store, I would be doing ShipBob unless I had like really, really large items to sell. Is that kind of the main dividing line between the two?
Yeah. I send everybody ShipBob until we get to something where they say, ShipBob doesn't work for me. You go, okay, then let me take you a look at someone else.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I had. Is there kind of a final thought you have as we just kind of wrap up about fulfillment outside of Amazon?
I think the thing, like when it comes down to it, for a store builder, right? A store builder has to say, okay, I need to know whether or not someone can do same day processing. So it's one of the questions I'm going to ask, because that's part of what you get out of an Amazon, right? People, when they want to buy, they want to get it now, right? And so you want to ask people about same day, the deployment, right? Or the automatic shipping, right? Like how fast can you turn it around? You also want to know what kind of discounted shipping rates you can get. Different players, ShipBob, RedStag, anybody else, they have different rates. You want to understand if there's a fee for any kind of personalization, whether it's putting the stickers on it, putting the stickers in it, you know, whatever else. You want to understand how inventory works and whether or not they have their own inventory management, their own predictive or inventory planning software, or whether you can integrate your own. Because this is part of what happens when you start outsourcing, right? I worked with a vendor who had something being built in China and getting it delivered, but they didn't deliver it to them. They delivered it to their fulfillment service. So, but then the order processing is happening and the merchant is seeing the orders, right? So I'm looking at thing that says orders, but when do I have to ask my vendor who's manufacturing it? When do I have to ask the manufacturer to send more to the fulfillment player, right? And it's one thing if I'm controlling that because I have software for it. It's another if the fulfillment player is saying, listen, this is the rate at which we're shipping out. We need another order. Are they going to do it? Or it's the merchandise going, hey, we have a relationship with you where we push out this much every month. So all of a sudden you got inventory dynamics or planning that has to get figured out as a store builder, right? Those are the parts of the conversations that never happen when you're quoting a project, right? You're sitting here talking about this, that, and you never ask, by the way, am I going to have to integrate three different systems and make sure that the data is moving? You forget to ask about it. So as a store builder, you want to understand if it's happening. You want to be able to recommend a player if it's not happening, but it should be. And then you want to dig into some of the details to make sure you understand your costs when it comes to building out those integrations to make all this happen.
Right. That's great stuff, Chris. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next episode.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. All right, folks. There you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on your fulfillment alternatives to the popular Fulfilled by Amazon model. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.